everyone. We appreciate everybody coming back for the part two of our hearing, joint redistricting hearing today. My name is Will Weatherford, and I'm one of the co-chairs of this committee, along with Senator Don Gates, who's the other co-chair. We took 3 hours of public testimony earlier today. I thought it was very productive, and I want to thank again the members of the public who are here today, who were here earlier this afternoon, and have also come back. We are very grateful for the public participation that you have given us, and we are going to continue in that mode. And so, members, what we're going to do is, so far, we've got probably 8 or 10 cards here. We expect to get a few more, but we're going to go through them one at a time and give people the opportunity to speak before this committee. And then we will move forward and move on and hit the road and go to Pensacola. So with that in mind, we're going to start with our first person here, and that is Mr. David Best. If Mr. Best is here, Mr. Best represents the Coffee Party. And Mr. Best, thank you for being here, sir. You are recognized to address the committee. Please give Mr. Best your attention, please.
Thank you.
Touch the there's a button there, sir.
Hello, hello. Better, better.
Yes, you're on.
Number
there you
nine.
Go.
Okay. Well, my name is David Best. I'm here as a citizen first and a voter. I have voted in every election that I can remember in the last 30 years. Now, I know I've missed one or two, but the ones I remember, and almost all of them. I'm also here as a member of the Coffee Party USA. I work with the Coffee Party of Florida, local Coffee Party group. The Coffee Party strives to maintain independence from all political parties and labels. We are grassroots volunteers who want to restore civility to the political process that we believe has suffered from extreme polarization by both parties, and we too often see parties, matter of fact, every day in the paper I see it, I think parties are working too often in their own interest for the next election rather than the common good of the people. To that end, I also want to say I believe in the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Florida. My goal here is to ensure that the voice of the people, not the power of the dollar and special interest, are the most considered and will decide the policies and directions of our state. To that end, I wish to compliment the Florida legislature on the openness that it's shown so far in this process, particularly for the things you've put online and made it available to me, just a common person. And I want to encourage you to continue with that openness and transparency when the rubber hits the road down the road. Okay, unfortunately, the absence of maps. I don't know what you heard this afternoon, but it just seems like we could have had some maps with some ideas of where you're going. I've got to believe that you have studied this, and probably every one of you, particularly with incumbency, knows what you're planning to do in this redistricting process. So I would request that rather than wait till the end and receive a lot of public hearing input, that you go ahead and get some maps out there and give us some ideas of where you're going, so that at least the people later on in the hearing process will have more ideas what is going to happen beyond what we've got now. I believe that the voters have already given you that whatever we say, the will of the voters was made clear in the last election. 5 and 6 amendments passed, 63% of the vote. That's pretty telling right there. To me, when I read them, they're fairly clear. So I believe the intent of those amendments is clear, but I also believe that the intent of many political incumbents, particularly those in high-ranking positions, has been made clear as well, by actions more so than by words. Time is fleeting. I think this timeline is going to be a very difficult one to maintain. I've been on projects where I looked at it and I thought, this project's going to, there's no room at all for any error. It's going to be hard enough to stay on this timeline as it is. So I encourage you to really get real. Certainly you've all worked on these project plans and you've got to know this. I can't tell you this. You know more than I do. So lastly, I guess, as a Coffee Party activist, I pledge to support leaders who work towards positive solutions and to hold accountable those who obstruct them. I'm here to ask that you be leaders that I can support. And I thank you very much for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Best. We appreciate your comments here today. One thing I did not point out earlier, and you certainly fell within this time frame, Mr. Best, but for those who did not get a chance to speak earlier, we're going to try to keep the comments between 3 and 5 minutes. That kind of seems to be the wheelhouse that has worked so far. We're going to continue to work in that direction. And also, I will announce the name of the person who is going to be speaking and then try to put you on deck. So if you're next, you'll hear your name as well, and just be prepared to come up and speak when that person ahead of you is done. So again, Mr. Best, thank you very much for being here. The next speaker that we have is, Jace Michael Hill, if I'm saying that right. It could be Joyce, but I frankly can't tell. I apologize. You're good? Okay, all right. He is waving, and I don't know. Usually with bills, we say wave in support, so we'll just say waves. We have Matthew Isbell. Matthew spoke to us earlier. Certainly, you're welcome to come back and speak. No problem. We're happy to have you. Thanks for being here. After Matthew, we will have Dan McDaniel.
Thank you again for letting me speak. I know I spoke to you guys earlier today. I kept it short earlier because I wanted to let other people speak, but I decided to sign up again just to address one other key thing. And it was brought up at the end of the meetings, and that was the issue of minority districts and minority representation in not only the legislature, but Congress. Specifically, Congress right now of our 25 seats, we're going to go to 27, I know, we have three majority African-American districts and several majority Hispanic districts. The comment, and there's been questions, okay, well, fair districts has passed. What about things like the 3rd District, which stretches from Jacksonville down to Orlando? You also have Alcee Hastings District, which stretches over about 3 or 4 counties in South Florida. And, you know, there's been some arguments made by some legislators, some activists on both sides of the aisle saying that, you know, if something like the 3rd District is eliminated, that will hurt minority representation. And I just want to offer a different point of view on that, you know, the especially with the terms of the Voting Rights Act, which was passed back in 65 to ensure minority representation, not only being allowed to vote, but also be drawing majority African-American districts. But the key thing about that was designed to ensure that, especially in the South, where it had been the process for 100 years, legislators did not draw lines to carve up a compact African-American community that already existed, where there was a compact area and people would draw 3 or 4 districts between it. The VRA does not require, though, drawing, you know, a district that stretches from Jacksonville all the way to Orlando, basically packing every African-American imaginable in. In fact, districts similar to that in North Carolina and Georgia have been struck down in past Supreme Court cases as basically racial gerrymandering, where you're packing every Democrat, every African-American in. And I just don't feel that, you know, this is not a comment to anybody specifically, but just want to state for the record, I don't feel that's needed. We have plenty of white, majority white districts, majority white states that have elected African Americans, Hispanics, anybody. We are no longer in the, pardon my words, the Jim Crow South, where you need a majority minority district to elect a minority. It's just not the case. And I just want to make that point clear. That's what I feel, that, you know, if you can create a majority minority district that is compact, like we have now for Rico Wilson's down in South Florida, where I'm from, where I've lived in at different points in my life, that's a compact district. But something, a district that stretches from Jacksonville to Orlando, it's just not needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Isbell. We appreciate your comments again. Next, we have Mr. Dan McDaniel. Following Mr. McDaniel, we have Dustin Ponder. Mr. McDaniel, thank you very much for being here, sir. You are recognized.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I appreciate you taking the comments from the public. I don't envy the job that you have. I know that in past committees, if I can just preface by saying this, the members that I've known of this committee, while the charges have always seemed to be that they're going to do something in their favor, it seems that they always came away and found that it was more of a punitive appointment rather than one that managed to allow them to cash in on any kinds of favor. What I wanted to do in the 30 years of business and government that I've had is just share for a moment a perspective on the both the analysis and process management sides of the redistricting, or really anything that you wanted to tackle business or government-wise, at least looking back at some of the more difficult projects I have, and I don't want to compare them with the enormity of your task. But in analysis, we're always, and my background, just to let you know, is an economist and IT manager. And what we're doing in analysis always is taking these complex problems and trying to break them down into something manageable. And clearly at the IT management level or any kind of higher or upper management level, you can't understand every detail, even though we try and we want to. On the process management side, we're trying to come up with some simple rules that we can follow as we're dealing with the analysis. And what I just wanted to present is what I think would be a fair way to perhaps deal with the constraints, not just of the past and of the political, but also of the amendments that are in place. And in three simple steps, what I might propose is to first look at the state of Florida, and rather than start drawing from Escambia or start drawing from Key West or somewhere in between, instead recognize that you as members of different districts currently have so many different composite makeups within your district. And it might be best if we tried to keep these districts not just contiguous and not just community-oriented, but also to favor the interests within that particular area, whatever they might be, agricultural, urban, whatever. And my proposal simply would be to start with the urban cities in the state of Florida. And by the populations I looked at, if you took the House districts, for example, I think you'd have 9 cities in the state of Florida that had populations over the size of one House district. Jacksonville would fit 5 House districts. A couple cities would fit 2 and the rest 1. A couple cities, I don't know if my numbers were exactly right, number 10 and 11 were about the size of a district, maybe not quite. But if the principles of the redistricting were applied then within each of these cities, then a lot of the political problems and accusations that might arise at a statewide level would at least go away within the locale you're creating urban. And then the second step would be to look at SMSAs, something of that sort. We've got a lot of them around the state and fill the rest in that way. They would leak over into some of the urban cores but cover more of the suburban areas, and you'd have suburban-style districts. And then when you're done, some may argue, and some always will, that you have a gerrymandered-looking district. I would argue that rather than being gerrymandered, they probably look more like Swiss cheese, maybe donuts here and there. But they would be the more rural and exurbia type districts, and I think they'd represent a more common interest in that respect. But if you looked at those cities and those SMAs and then the rest of the state, if it filled out and looked like a gerrymander, I think that under the provisions, as the way I've read Amendments 5 and 6, I think it could all be justified. And that's just presenting things from an analytical and process management standpoint. I want to thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. McDaniel. We appreciate those comments. Next up, we have Mr. Dustin Ponder, who is here. After Mr. Ponder, we will have Jay Lyles.
Thank you.
Nice, sir.
I was here earlier, and, you know, I've heard a lot of talk today about democracy and listening to the will of the public before we put out maps on redistricting. And I just have to say, I mean, who are we talking about democracy for, you know? I mean, you look at the last redistricting maps, and the result was 50% of our senators and our representatives are millionaires, when I think in the general population it's about 5%. And I don't think people are naive here. I don't expect to convince you all to draw up maps with my arguments and to implement fair districts. I mean, I think we all know how politics works. Politicians had the interest of working families, people of color, and the poor in mind first, instead of, as one woman put earlier, the people that hire them. We'd already have maps. We wouldn't be having a lawsuit where the people are both defending and paying for the prosecution to overturn the Fair Districts Amendment. So all I got to say is you all are saying you're listening to the public. You're saying you support democracy, not just for the top 2%, but for everybody. Well, my father always used to say, actions speak louder than words, no matter how eloquently put. So, I mean, I'm hoping that the rest of the public will join me and just say, let's get to it. You know, we know what the game is. The people know what the game is. I mean, we've been through it all already. Let's see the maps. Let's move forward.
Thank you, Ms. Ponder. Next up, we have Jay Lyles. After Mr. Lyles, we have Jack Davis. Mr. Lyles, thank you very much for being here, sir.
Thank you, Chairman Weatherford. Thank you, Chairman Gates, and the members of the committee. I am Jay Lyles. I reside at 1962 Vineland Drive here in Tallahassee. Prior to living in Tallahassee, I was raised in Plant City, Florida. I went to school in Gainesville, Florida. I lived in St. Pete for 10 years. My father was a member of this august body, along with Ron Saunders' father back in the 1960s. I only say all of that because I want you to know I feel your pain. I understand what you're up against, and I appreciate what you've agreed to do. And I hope you will take the input of the citizens of the state and come up with the best plans you can as you go forward. Some of you may know me as an advocate for environmental issues here in the legislature. I want you to know that today I don't speak for those groups. I speak as a citizen of the state of Florida. Let me further preface my comments with a few facts, if you don't mind, and I'll be very brief about this. I live in the 9th House District. I'm a resident of the 3rd State Senate District, and I'm in the 2nd Congressional District. To visit with my state senator, Senator Dean, in his home office, I would need to travel 211 miles, a six-hour trip back and forth. To visit with my congressman in his home district, that's another 4.5-hour drive, 110 miles in Panama City. Some of my neighbors, very near neighbors in eastern Hillsborough County, are represented by Congresswoman Corinne Brown, who lives in Jacksonville. In a district that some people say is the most gerrymandered district in the nation. According to the 2010 census, Senate District 3 and Congressional Districts 2 and 3 need to be reduced in size to be proportionally correct. The Fair Districts Amendment, approved by 63% of the voters, tells us that the committee should strictly adhere to, quote, compact and contiguous districts in order to end gerrymandering by political parties. In keeping with the amendment, I sincerely hope that this committee and the legislature will approve a geographically reduced size District 2, and Congressional District 2 and Senate District 3, and bring my neighbors in Leon County into the 2nd Congressional District. In the 2010 election cycle, there were 4,631,068 registered Democrats. There were 4,039,000 registered Republicans and 2,186,000 independents. Yet in the state legislature, as you all know, it's 81-39 Republicans versus Democrat. In the state Senate, it's 28-12 Republicans versus Democrat. Our congressional delegation and most of the major offices, with the exception of one U.S. Senate office, are held by Republicans. And I know many of you, some of you anyway, on this committee, think that's just because your campaign strategies were better. But honestly, let's get real. There's something wrong in that. As some of my friends have said, the politicians in Florida are picking the voters rather than voters picking their candidates. And a civics lesson would clearly tell us that a representative form of government ensures the will of the majority prevails while strenuously protecting the rights of the minority. When people feel their voice is not heard by their elected representatives, they begin to lose confidence in the institutions of government. Then they lose interest in the rights of others. And at its lowest point, they lose interest in civil law. That's something none of us can afford to have happen, no matter what our party. So as you conduct your work, I would ask you to suspend your loyalty to party And as I know you are, be loyal Floridians in your thinking and in your efforts. Consider that the decisions you're making here are going to be for 10 years, long after many of you are out of these institutions, out of this process. Please ask yourselves, how can your successors govern effectively if the policies they craft are the product of an echo chamber? I've worked with many of you on a lot of issues. I know that in a one-to-one environment, we tend to agree more often than not, or at least find accommodation. It's the groupthink that concerns me, and I hope we're able to get past that. And I thank you for the time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lyles. Next up, members, we have got Jack Davis. You want to say ditto?
Ditto.
Okay. We can do that. Ditto for Mr. Jack Davis. Thank you very much, sir, for being here. We appreciate you participating in this process. We next have Alex Belk, I believe that's a K. Alex, did I say that wrong, buddy?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize.
Here.
680 West Virginia Street? All right.
So I guess I'll have to repeat that?
That's right. After Alex, we've got Mr. Carlos Ray, if you're going to be next. You're recognized, sir, and sorry for not pronouncing your name right.
I have a chicken scratch for for running, so it's okay.
Your handwriting is still better than mine, I can assure you.
I want to thank everybody, first of all, for giving me the opportunity to speak here today and the rest of the citizens in the room. I want to state that openness is extremely important, and that's the key in all of this. I know it's going to be a hard-fought battle. There's a lot of disagreement on both sides how things should be run and written. But ultimately, if we remain open, if this continues to be an open process, I think what's going to come out of this, you know, it's going to be contentious, but hopefully it'll be good for everybody. And in addition to this, I think that we need to stick to the spirit of the law. We need to have compact districts that are reflective of the people that live in there. I'm in Senator Monfort's district, and I'm in Representative Alan Williams' district. If I cross a street, literally 40 feet from my door, I'm in someone else's district. I think it's Marty Coley's district. So, I mean, we're talking literally 40 feet. I mean, it's not like there's a totally different community between us. It's the same community, the same people. A lot of the folks that live on one side are predominantly African American. The other one are students. And so if we have anything that affects us in this district that has to do with transportation, which is Tennessee Street, it's a major corridor in Tallahassee. It's a lot of transportation issues with the city. Who do we go talk to? If you're African American, you talk to Alan Williams. And if you're a student, you go talk to Marty Coley. And that, to me, it pits these two groups against each other. There is not one representative in that district that knows exactly what happens on both sides of the street that pay attention to that. And I think that's wrong for the people that live in that community. I agree with everything that Mr. McDaniel spoke about earlier, that we need to start with the bigger urban cores and work our ways out there, because the situations that affect somebody in the city are not going to be the same that affect somebody out in a rural county like Union. African American issues and Hispanic issues are very important to me, but they're not the same in Duval County that they are in Orange County. They're not the same that they are in Union. They're not the same that they are in Ocala. That's not a county. In Marion County. So we need to keep our communities together. We all need to work together, and we need to encourage that by having districts that encourage us to go talk with one another and our representatives that are going to know their districts well. When you have somebody who has to travel 400 miles from one point of the district to another, how are they really going to get to know anybody other than what's within the 20 miles that they live in? So let's use a little bit of the common sense approach. I know sometimes common sense is not very common, but I think that we've come a very long way. As that one gentleman mentioned, the Jim Crow South, we've grown a lot from that period in time. And if we have faith in our constituencies and in our folks, people are going to do what's best for them and their communities, and they're going to come together. We just got to have a little bit more faith in ourselves to do so. Once again, just thanks again, and please keep in mind that the most important in all of this is keeping communities together. We need to have people who are going to be advocating for their communities, not for 65 different communities of who they've met maybe 5 or 6 people, you know, along the way. Thank you very much, and that's all I have.
Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate that very much. Next up, we have Mr. Carlos Ray, followed by Beatrice Macia. Mr. Ray, thank you for being here, sir. You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Weatherford. Thank you, Chairman Gates. Again, thank you for this opportunity and making this an open and transparent process. The only reason I'm coming up here is to present to you a study that took place in Columbia Law School, where they have a program where students are given the opportunity to learn the redistricting laws and given the tools to redistrict certain states. At the end of that program, those students are required to take a state and actually redistrict the state based on the projected census reports. And here I have before me the report itself, which takes into account compactness and the VRA laws as well. And it addresses only congressional districts, but I think it gives you an idea of what are some considerations you can look at when you're making decisions. And I don't know if I can present this to the board.
We're actually very familiar with that. We actually have it online on our website at floridaredistricting.org. The Senate has it up, and to be even more direct, we think that's actually a perfect example of the steps that we've taken to be open and transparent to where we're soliciting that type of participation. And the young man, the student who produced that map of the congressional districts of Florida spent a lot of time on that, and I believe gave it to us 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we have it. If you want to give members a copy, you can. But I believe we can hand it maybe down here, but it is online. We have it up and online, and there are actually other maps as well. But again, I think that speaks to the process we've created and what technology now allows us to do to allow people to take advantage of the software we have. So I'm glad that you're here to talk about it, and didn't want to interrupt you, but wanted you to know we have it.
Make sure they're aware of that. And also, I think that people can look at this report and see that the issues that have been brought up in this before this board has been addressed and other people are looking at it, and it shows that individuals can have an impact as far as what considerations are taken when making these decisions. And you've given us the tools, the redistricting tool itself, and it's one of those things that we should take advantage of as well. And I want to thank you again for this opportunity, and I'm kind of embarrassed that this is on there, but thanks again for this opportunity.
It's quite all right, Mr. Ray. We appreciate you being here, and we echo your comments. We think that there will be many opportunities in the future for people to participate and do exactly what this young man from Columbia University has done. So thank you. Next, we have Beatrice Macia. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And after that, we have Brian Lupiani. Ms. Macia, thank you for being here today, and we'd love to hear from you. You're recognized.
Thank you. Representative, I guess I need to let you know something. It's Macia, but I'll say Macia. And being Cuban, Macia is a whole other family. That accent on the I, not the A.
I'm sinking in my chair as you're talking, so thank you.
How would you know that? good evening, senators and representatives. As I said, I'm Beatrice Macia. I am a board member of the Tallahassee Tea Party, and I'm a Hispanic voter. I know that Florida is a long, narrow, and diverse state. It's difficult. I recognize the fact that whether you all held these listening meetings or not, you are going to be criticized. And I appreciate the fact that you chose to listen to us anyway. I understand that you're going to be looking at a lot of factors, and I hope that one of the things that you'll look at is the concept, just like that when our Congress was originated, it had two houses. To balance the needs of the large states with the small states, we have large counties, urban and diverse, and we have small rural counties that have less resources and are just important that they are heard and represented. I know that there are interests in the different regions that need to be acknowledged. You know, we have tourism, we have fishing, we have agricultural, we have new technologies that are coming. Our governor is working hard to bring, you know, interesting businesses to Florida, as well as many of our regional development councils. I have worked in a lot of different parts of government. I've worked in departments of state, in the legislature. I've worked in the governor's office, and I'm a small business owner. So I have a pretty appreciative understanding and working knowledge of the processes that you work in and how those policies and all those things are actually implemented, and then the effects on the diverse folks that are impacted. So I look forward to the day that we don't have to talk about minorities and that we don't have to talk about selfish interests. I really look forward to the day that we're talking about building a better Florida. I just want you to know that I choose to put my faith in your good intentions. I have watched you all. I was here during the session. I have watched you all talk to each other. I've watched you work through problems and very difficult issues. I have an appreciation for what you do. And also know that I will also still be involved and I'll be a part of the process. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you being here. Next up, we have Mr. Brian Lupiani, followed by Mr. Eaton. And I would try to read your first name, but I can't make it out. So Mr. Eaton, but first we have Brian. Thank you for being here, sir. You are recognized.
Thank you, gentlemen, ladies. Well, I wasn't necessarily going to say anything. I just wanted to be sure that I had a chance to, if something came up. But having only just gotten into the room a couple of minutes ago, I'm not sure what's come before. But first, I appreciate you all having these hearings. I wish there were drafts that we had a chance to respond to. Maybe there'll be a second round that you all can come around the state with a proposal and get some comments on it. I would just like to say that it's paramount to me that you all go by the amendments that the citizens just recently put in the Constitution. I don't like that it's being challenged and delayed by some. It was overwhelmingly approved by voters, and I've been in favor of those standards. Not that it matters to you what I've done, but I've been a Democrat since I could vote, and I was originally for these standards back in 1978 when the Democrats ran everything. I think it's good for everyone. It needs to be fair, and we really need to just go by as much as possible just based on raw population, demographics, racial demographics, to the extent that we need to comply with the Voting Rights Act. But there should be no, and I realize this isn't gonna count for much with many of you, but there should be no consideration given to partisan registration or to incumbent's current location. Some of the things we've seen, you see on the current map, I mean, it's almost incredible to have to point out anything like this finger for a congressional district, whatever it is, from Jacksonville that comes cutting across, snakes into all the way over into Leon County. There's a state house district, 10, and I don't mean this to, you know, I'm not picking on anybody in particular here, but it's insane to me that somebody in Apalachicola is in the same state house district as people I know in Ocala. It's, you know, you have to do better. I haven't had a chance yet to look at the software you all have made available. I appreciate that that's out there, and I'm, you know, I hope a number of groups will use it. But as I said, just keep partisan political party affiliation completely off the table. Go strictly by population and follow existing political and geographic boundaries as much as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, and it is not too much to ask that we keep partisan politics out of this process. We believe that's exactly what this body will do. It's what the Constitution asks us to do, and it's a very good suggestion, and we will certainly take it to heart and make sure that we do so. Next up, we have Mr. Eaton. In fact, this is the last card that we have, and I would, if you are here and you would like to speak and we have not called your name, please raise your hand, and we will find someone who will give you a card to fill out. We want to make sure that everyone here has the opportunity to speak. And while we're looking for that, Mr. Eaton, you're recognized to speak. Thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you. I would only like to say is this, is that the people of Florida are watching what your body does today. And we do not want to see a situation where this body decides to take political affiliation into consideration when it comes to setting up these districts. The people of the state have voted on this matter. The people of this state have made decisions how they want to have their districts drawn, and I think this body should adhere to that. And it concerns me that this body has done things that usurp the rights of the people. And so I would hope that everyone here takes it very serious to do the right thing and do the thing that the people of Florida, this fine state of Florida, have asked you to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And that's the last of, I think that is the last of our public testimony. We do have someone. Okay, great. While we're waiting for that, as mentioned earlier, as people email us or give us information that they'd like to make on the record but could not be here, we want to oblige them. Mimi Jones, has sent us a email saying she could not be here, wanted us to know that she wanted us to follow the Constitution, and we plan on following that. And then we also were reached via Facebook from a lady by the name of Diane Blackford Wilson, who just wanted to restate that Wakulla County is an extension of Leon for all practical purposes and should have the same representatives as Leon County. And we appreciate them contacting us and knowing that not everybody can be at a meeting, but that their comments can be on the record. So last up, we have Ralph Wilson. Mr. Wilson, we'd love to have you come forward. Thank you for being here. And you're recognized to address the committee.
Thank you very much. Thanks for holding this hearing. I think we really appreciate it. And I think a lot of us are here for a pretty simple reason. We feel like the voters have spoken and feel like it's just another of many affronts to the voters' will and the people's will of the state for this and to be being challenged in the way that it is. So I think, I think that that's really all there is to say. So I thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. We appreciate your comments. Any other comments from the public? Last call. Okay. Any comments and or questions from members of the committee?
Thank you, Speaker.
Yes, Representative Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say for the record that I was glad to see so many individuals from this area, parts of which I'm proud to represent, along with Senator Mumford. I had an opportunity to come out and share their thoughts and concerns about this process that we take very serious. And thank you for the opportunity given to this area for them to be heard. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative, and thank you for hosting us here in Tallahassee. We're very grateful for that. Senator Gates, I think you had a comment that you'd...
Just quickly, Speaker, I wanted to thank you for presiding over the hearings today. Some of those who were here tonight were not able to be here earlier today. We certainly are not going to repeat all of the comments we made about the process and the schedule, but I think given some of the comments that were made tonight, it's only fair that we indicate the process and schedule in a couple of ways. So let me refer to introductory comments that were made at the very beginning of the session today, so that those who may not have been able to hear those comments would have the benefit of knowing which way we're headed. The redistricting schedule under which we're operating is imposed not by our own wishes, but by the state constitution. The constitution does not permit the legislature to act on legislative maps before the second year after the census, in other words, until 2012. But we did accelerate the process as much as possible by moving up the 2012 session from March to January and by beginning our statewide hearings 5 months in advance of the 2012 session. It's been suggested by some that the legislature should draw maps first and then put them out and ask the public to comment. We believe that that puts the answer ahead of the question. There should be, in our view, no preconceptions created by politicians, but rather public testimony and public input should be free and unrestrained. Our intent is to use the recommendations made at all 26 of the public hearings we'll be holding and to use the input we're receiving over the internet. And I might mention, Mr. Chairman, that we've been heavily followed online this afternoon and this evening, very heavy online traffic with individuals saying they want to participate online, they want to submit plans, they want to offer comments, and we welcome that. And our intent is to use all of that input that we're gathering as the basis for developing one or more options for district maps. And then we'll share those options in open public meetings before any votes are taken, even in committee. Let me state that again. First, we're asking for public input via the internet. getting heavy internet traffic and via our 26 public hearings. And then once we have that information, and as we develop one or more options for district maps, we'll share those options in open public meetings before any votes are taken, even in committee. Throughout the process, we will solicit additional public comment so that all proposed maps can mature with the public involved, all before the legislature approves final maps. And finally, Mr. Speaker, just for the record and for those who may not have been able to be here this afternoon, whatever the legislature then votes on is submitted for judicial review at the state and federal level to ensure that final plans meet every legal requirement. So on behalf of our Senate colleagues, Senate members of the committee, Mr. Speaker, thank you for doing a great job today, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning in Pensacola as we continue our statewide tour.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for those comments. And members, just if I could have everyone's attention for 1 minute before we break. I think everyone knows that we have several days ahead of us. We are now moving tonight to head over to Pensacola. We will meet with citizens in Pensacola tomorrow evening. We will be in our good senator's backyard in Fort Walton Beach, and then finally finishing Wednesday in Panama City. But I want to thank the staff for putting this together. This was very well orchestrated. It was perfectly placed so that people could see what the maps look like. You could get information. Everything was waiting for folks. And I just really thank the staff for making this a seamless process. I also want to thank the members who are here, not just the members on the committee, but we have dozens of members who traveled from all over the state of Florida who don't even sit on this committee that wanted to be a part of this process to see how it works and to engage the public. And I thank them for that as well. Lastly, and most importantly, we want to thank the public who's here tonight and was here earlier this afternoon. We are going to make this process the most open, the most transparent, most engaging process, not only that Florida has ever had, that anyone in the country has ever had. And that is our goal, and we will fulfill it. And we thank you for being here today. And with that, Senator Gates moves, we rise.
On the road.
On the road again.